Well, a lot of people don't realize that the brain is actually set up to prevent us from moving. So, if you think about the brain evolved at a time when we needed to expend a lot of energy to hunt and gather our food, we don't have to do that nowadays, but the brain is still set up to conserve energy. And so it sees any sort of voluntary movement as an extravagant expense.
Welcome to the Spartan Up podcast, hosted by Joe DeSena, founder and CEO of Spartan Race, and brought to you by Wild Health.
We are talking about overcoming obstacles. The same way we teach people to get over obstacles on the course, we will teach you here on the Spartan Up podcast to get over obstacles in your mind.
Get fully personalized healthcare based on your DNA, biometrics, and blood work with Wild Health, the official healthcare provider of Spartan. Go to wildhealth.com and use the code SPARTAN10 to save 10%. This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Athletic Brewing Company. Their innovative process allows them to brew great-tasting craft beer without the alcohol. New customers can get 10% off their entire order with the code SPARTAN10. Limit one per customer.
So I got a real special one for you today. Jennifer Heiss, rhymes with nice, I was just told. And she wrote this great book, Move the Body, Heal the Mind. I can't think of a better title and a better topic because I've been saying forever that like there's so many academics, there's so many people that focus on business, they don't focus on their body. They would do so much better, I would argue, in academia. They would do so much better in business if they move the body. So I'm glad you got out of academia and focused on the body.
I'm still in academia, but I do move more than my colleagues, that's for sure.
What happened?
It happened way back in graduate school when I was studying neuroscience, so just really fundamental neuroscience. And I started to get really anxious. Something wasn't right with my own brain. And I went to the medical community and really didn't get a ton of help. The pills kind of scared me, so I steered away from that. And on a whim, before that, I wasn't really an athlete, but on a whim, I borrowed my friend's rusty old road bike, and the movement really soothed my mind. And the rest is history. It created like this profound shift in both my personal life, but also my professional life. So instead of just studying how the brain represents who we are and our memories, I started to focus on how exercise stimulates the brain and produces all the amazing effects that you just alluded to, like creativity, focus, and a better mood.
There's no doubt about it. I feel 1,000 times better after I work out in the morning. Did any of your research or your personal experiences show you that a certain time of day, or it doesn't matter?
Generally, it doesn't matter. So a lot of people have their preferred time of day. So if yours is in the morning, mine too. Mine's like mid-morning. I like to have a workout. The beautiful thing about exercise is that every single workout you do gives your brain the nutrients it needs, and you just feel better after every single workout. Now, I mean, some of the workouts are harder to get to than others. And having a consistent routine helps kind of alert the brain, get the body ready for the workout. So it's a little bit easier to overcome that inertia.
So if this is obvious, or maybe it's not obvious, that's why you wrote the book. Why are we having this big issue? Like, why aren't people moving?
Well, a lot of people don't realize that the brain is actually set up to prevent us from moving. So if you think about the brain evolved at a time when we needed to expend a lot of energy to hunt and gather our food, we don't have to do that nowadays. But the brain is still set up to conserve energy. And so it sees any sort of voluntary movement as an extravagant expense. And it tries to prevent you from doing it. So any voluntary exercise falls into that category, and the brain is like, you know, it's relentless. Do you have time to exercise? Aren't you tired? You know, it will continue to try to talk you out of that movement so it can conserve energy. So essentially, this relic makes us lazy. But fortunately, there are ways to get around that. So as you and many of your listeners know, planning is important. So you have to probably you're probably putting it in your schedule. This is a go-to for me. I have to plan my workouts ahead of time where they don't fit in, including details like what I'm going to do, where I'm going to do it, with whom. And this takes the guessing game out of it, so that when your lazy brain is like, hey, do we have time? You're like, yeah, it's right there on my calendar. Or, you know, I'm tired. You can be like, oh, well, the workout today is not that hard, so we can do it.
It is a conversation all the time. And I'm so glad you're saying this, because I thought maybe I was crazy. I feel like it has been trying to stop me and everybody around me at every turn. But then somehow I flipped the switch and I have to do the workout. How did that happen?
What happens is the brain starts to link movement with these amazing feel-good feelings we get after it. So the brain is really good at finding associations. And so initially, the lazy brain dominates when we're first starting a new workout program. And it's difficult to overcome that inertia. So for anybody starting out a new fitness program, they have to overcome that. But once you start to link exercise and movement with the feel-good feelings you get immediately after, exercise starts to adopt that feeling. And the brain learns that, oh, I can feel good. I feel better when I exercise. And then that narrative starts to take over, rather than the, oh, I'm too tired. You already know, you've learned through experience, that you'll feel better after. And that's worth it.
Is there a certain number of feel better afters that you need? Because there are some people that even, you know, for years have been sporadically doing a workout here or there and then still find resistance. Mm-hmm. I wonder if I just hit the threshold and then the brain says, we got to do this.
Yeah. Or maybe your motivation's different than other people. So one thing I find is, because I'm 100% motivated to work out for my mental health, it's the medicine I need. I know that. Without it, I feel tension in my body. I don't think clearly. I get overwhelmed with stress. So for me, I've learned quickly that this is the medicine I need. And so I have a fundamentally different relationship with it than someone who maybe is working out for performance gains or physical gains. So this is really the reason I wrote the book, is to help give people that reason to exercise that's not just physical, but it's mental. It's fundamental to being human, that we need to move to feel good. And then once it's part of your identity, so I mean, movement is part of your identity, right? You couldn't imagine you without movement or exercise. And so that's where people need to be, is that, you know, I move because that's just part of who I am.
Start to define yourself that way, create that narrative, and then before you know it, it just happens.
It's just who you are, and you'll keep coming back to it because it's like embedded in your fabric of your identity.
How much better would the country or the world be if every morning at like 5 a.m. there was a big siren that went off and everybody had to do like, I don't know, 300 burpees and go for a bike ride and take a cold shower?
Oh my God, you're so hardcore. Well, first of all, I'm not getting up at 5 a.m. I like to sleep in. I'm one of those unusual athletes that don't like to get up early. But I agree, you know, having it really built into society as the norm, maybe not so hardcore, but it could be even just in the fundamental things we do every day, like walking to get the groceries or walking to the cafe rather than driving. Something simple like that, where we can build in movement to our day, you know, make the stairs really attractive to take rather than the escalator or the elevator.
Here's a crazy question around like, hey, Joe, you're so hardcore. And give me an honest answer on this. Like, when I think back, you know, just 100 years ago, and then from that moment backwards for, you know, 900,000 years on the planet, we did hard stuff physically. Mm-hmm. Like that was just part of our existence. And now there's an elevator at every turn. At fitness conventions, you see stairs and then you see escalators. Even at the fitness conventions, they're all taking the escalator. People movers in the airports. I mean, you can get DoorDash now, deliver McDonald's right to your house. So like, So my question for you is, Joe, you're so extreme, but like, am I extreme relative to the way we live throughout? Or I don't know if you've researched that at all. And it's a real question. Or am I extreme relative to where we are and going?
Yeah, I think relative to other people in today's society, it seems extreme. And I'm just playing with you, you know. Compared to our prehistoric relatives, you know, they did some really hard stuff. You're right. The persistent hunt. This is one form of hunting where humans would essentially, at the hottest time of day, try to outrun an animal, a prey. And they picked the hottest time of day because humans were better equipped to tolerate the heat with our sweat glands, our bipedal movement. It was more efficient. And essentially, they would outrun the animal, like run it to death, essentially, which is hardcore.
You know, I had somebody on the podcast recently who said, if you look back to the 1950s, like, you make an assumption that everybody was eating salads and it was healthy and there was no fast food, but actually that's not true. And yet everybody looked really good. Mm-hmm. And the only difference really is the movement. They just moved more.
Well, they did cook more. You know, there was less fast food, probably less refined food. But yeah, you're right. They moved more. They walked more. They were living in smaller villages where, you know, you'd walk down the street to get your groceries and you walk home. You'd walk to school. You'd walk home. Yeah, so there was more movement built into everyday life. And I think we've taken that away. We've made it so easy to not move. And the lazy brain's like having a party up there. But the rest of the brain is not. It's really suffering because of this. And I think one of the messages you often talk about is this idea that we have to do, when we do hard things, like physically, we can do hard things mentally. You know, it transfers directly. And so if we're not doing hard things physically, then our resiliency is suffering. Our mental strength is suffering. And I think this is why we see so much mental illness or mental health issues in today's day and age.
What's the minimum? I don't know if you've done any studies on this, but like, should we break a sweat? Like, how far is the workout like, all right, we're going to walk for 3 minutes and that's enough? You know, what should it be?
I guess it depends on what your goal is. So, I mean, to boost creativity, for example, a self-paced walk is all it takes. Just 10 minutes, you know. So, you know, for anybody who's working on a podcast or writing or doing their work, just that sort of silly little walk around the block is enough. If you want to boost growth factors in the brain, to pump up your brain, to improve your memory, you'll have to get a little bit more intense. So research from our lab shows seniors are especially interested in boosting their memory, warding off dementia, and things like intense exercise can really help here. And now it is relative to your fitness level. So for a senior who hadn't been exercising, an intense bout was like an interval walk. So interval walking is just regular walking, but every now and then you pick up the pace. So picking up the pace between light posts, adding a few hills. And basically the importance of this intensity is lactate. So I know you're probably familiar with lactate, that burning sensation you get in the muscles is associated with it, the acidity. And for a long time, we thought lactate was this bad byproduct of exercise that we wanted to get rid of. But it turns out the latest research shows that lactate is actually one of the greatest promoters of neuroplasticity. So when lactate moves from the muscles to the brain, it stimulates growth in a brain region called the hippocampus, which is important for learning and memory and stress regulation.
So more lactic acid is good.
It's good for the brain, yeah. Intermittent bouts of lactic acid promote growth.
I don't know where the study is. You might have seen it, but I remember there was a study done in one of the Midwestern schools where they were trying to increase math scores for students. Mm-hmm. And they took one group and they gave them twice as much math. And they took another group and they gave them half as much math, but more exercise. And the half as much math did better.
It's amazing. And you hear the, you know, the PTA, the parent teacher associations complain, you know, we need more curricular activities. Our kids are falling behind academically. And so what's the first thing to go? It's gym class. You know, it's a physical education. And it's counterproductive. Research is so strong in this, especially for children. You know, they'd be better off moving before their math class or even moving during their math class. So these exercise games where they jump out the jumping jacks to the math problem solution. We've shown that even older students, like university students, benefit from taking movement breaks, exercise breaks. The thing is that when we sit for a long period of time, what happens is the blood flow to the brain decreases. And just standing up every 30 minutes for a 2-minute movement break, it can be low, moderate, or high intensity, is enough to replenish the blood flow to the brain. And so you can think better, think more focused, and think more creatively.
We've been doing every hour on the hour in the office, 10 burpees. And it really, it does help the day go by. Burpees never get better. but you're right. You could end up, you know, for those sitting down and working all day and typing emails, right? Like we're as sedentary as we've ever been, and it's not getting better. What are you and I going to do to change the world? Like, you wrote the book. Mm-hmm. I wrote a few books, but it doesn't seem to be really taking hold.
So my approach is, it's almost flips yours on its head, because you're really extreme with your approach, but mine is actually, the mantra is more like some is better than none. And so I just want people to start building the habit and focus less on intensity or endurance and more on just consistency, because that's where people are at. They don't like exercising. They don't see it as part of their life. And we just need to reintroduce them to this idea that actually it's really good for you, you know, and it'll make you feel better. And people aren't feeling that good these days. You know, the pandemic has made things even worse, not just for keeping people more sedentary, but their moods down, depression, anxiety are skyrocketing. People are not feeling well and they don't know what to do. And so my solution, my olive branch is, okay, let's just start moving a little bit more. Once around the block, twice, three times, now pick up the pace. You know, it's a gradual process. And then maybe eventually they'll end up at a Spartan race. But that might take them years, maybe decades to get there. And that's okay.
Yeah, I'm not even advocating, like, I've already resigned to the fact that you're not going to get everybody to go that extreme. But it could be as simple as take the stairs in your apartment building or in your, like, as opposed to the elevator, right? When you mm-hmm. see a set of stairs, somebody said to me the other day, we were walking in the airport and there was a big staircase ahead. And they said, oh, I knew you were going to do that. We were going to have to take the stairs. And it's like, I shouldn't be the one making, like, you should do that.
Yeah, I'm taking the stairs,
like,
too.
Is that extreme? Take the stairs?
No, I do take the stairs, but you don't see many people do it. And you do get the eyes, you know, when you got your heavy bag. But yeah, it's a culture shift. We need to change people's perspective on movement.
Minimum amount. What should they do every day?
A 30-minute walk every day. That's enough to meet the physical activity guidelines of 150 minutes per week. But if you break it down into just 30 minutes a day, and you don't have to get all those 30 at one time, you could have a walk in the morning, a walk in the evening.
And you don't care if they have a 40-pound weight vest on or not.
Throw the 40-pound weight vest on if you're there. If you're not there, leave it at home.
Why don't we hit all the highlights of what exercise does, if you don't mind, just so those listening that are sitting on their comfortable couch right now eating a donut could understand how important this is.
You might not have heard of this breathing technique, but it's been shown to reduce symptoms of stress and increase your feeling of calm. Hi, I'm Dr. Julie Fouché from Wild Health. The 478 breathing technique is one that I use personally, and a lot of my patients also find to be helpful. It was first popularized by Dr. Andrew Weil, who's an integrative medicine physician. And what it is breathing in for 4 seconds, holding for 7 seconds and then breathing out for 8 seconds. It's that long out breath that signals your parasympathetic nervous system to turn on, or that rest and digest nervous system that's so important. So I'm going to cue you if you want to try a round with me. We'll breathe in for 4 seconds. I'll then cue you to hold for 7 and out for 8. So here we go. Breathe in, 2, 3, 4. Hold, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and out. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Hopefully you're feeling a little bit calmer already. You can repeat that for 3 or 4 breaths and do this multiple times a day. Over time, it's been shown to reduce blood pressure, reduce heart rate, and decrease symptoms of stress or overwhelm. Hopefully this is something you can try next time you're feeling stressed out, maybe waiting on hold or in a long grocery store line or on one of those Zoom calls with work that never seems to end.
Wild Health, the official healthcare provider of Spartan. We'll be right back to the interview. But first, a little bit from Athletic Brewing Company, today's sponsor. You don't have to choose between an ice cold beer after a race and your health, thanks to Athletic Brewing Company. Athletic Brewing Company's innovative process allows them to brew great tasting craft beers without the alcohol, from IPAs to stouts to golden ales and more. They offer a full selection of beers starting at only 50 calories, so you can keep your head clear and enjoy the refreshing taste of beer anytime and anywhere. And they're part of a program called Two for the Trails. For every product purchased, Athletic Brewing Company donates 2% of sales to protecting and restoring local trails. They're pioneering a craft brew revolution. You don't have to sacrifice being your best to enjoy a great brew. In fact, check out their website to see a list of awards that their beers have won. Check your local store, but if you can't find it, they'll ship it. Place an order at athleticbrewing.com, and you can get free shipping on 2 6-packs or more. And new customers can save 10% off the entire order with the code SPARTAN10. Limit one per customer.
Why don't we hit all the highlights of what exercise does, if you don't mind, just so those listening that are sitting on their comfortable couch right now eating a donut could understand how important this is.
Okay, so exercise helps reduce anxiety. Now, people with anxiety often have anxiety sensitivity, which means that they have this fear of fear itself. So the somatic symptoms, the body symptoms of racing heart, you know, difficulty breathing, these things really scare them and give them more anxiety. So you can bet they don't really like exercising, and they don't like exercising intensely. But as nature would have it, exercise is the medicine they need, and that high intensity bouts can actually give them exposure to those symptoms but in a safe and very short, confined, narrow window that is more tolerable. And by exposing themselves to these symptoms, they learn to tolerate the symptoms more and their anxiety abates. So for people with anxiety sensitivity, I recommend going for like a 10-minute walk. This 10-minute walk will increase this resiliency factor in the brain called neuropeptide Y. This helps protect the brain against trauma and psychological stress. And so once your brain's flooded with neuropeptide Y, then take a quick burst, like not even 10 seconds. Get the heart rate up and feel it, and then let it go down. And this exposes them to the symptoms that they fear the most, so that they're not so scary. And they quickly learn that they're not that scary and they're not going to kill them. So that's with anxiety. That also works with post-traumatic stress disorder. The building up of neuropeptide Y helps the brain recover from extremely traumatic events. And even just light exercise, like a walk, is enough to boost it. However, with neuropeptide Y, you have to do it. You don't get neuropeptide Y unless you exercise. So there's one of the plugs for having a consistent program. Exercise helps reduce depression. A lot of people don't realize this, but 1/3 of people who take antidepressant drugs don't respond to the drugs. They're drug resistant. And so they the first line of defense against depression from medical professionals is the prescription. But for these people, they won't get help from that. And for them, exercise is the medicine they need. And it works significantly better than any drug that they could take. The reason why is because their depression isn't solved with the serotonin reuptake inhibitor drugs. It's related to something else. It's related to inflammation, and exercise is anti-inflammatory, which helps bring their inflammation down and helps their brain regulate its mood better so that they can get rid of their depressive symptoms. Addiction is another thing that exercise helps with. So, becoming truly addicted to exercise is pretty rare. So, even in extreme athletes like yourself, and even in, when I think of, the most tenacious athletes is like the CrossFit community, the CrossFitter, even them, it's very rare. It's very rare because for exercise to be an addiction, it has to cause harm. And if there's no harm, there really is no addiction. It's okay to really love doing something. It doesn't mean it's an addiction. But the nice thing, the beautiful thing about exercise is that it helps the brain heal faster from addiction. So when we use drugs of abuse, what happens is that they overwhelm the reward system and it shuts down. And so it can't feel pleasure from anything else in the world except the drug. When you stop using the drug, you still have that locked down reward system. But what exercise does is it helps to open it up faster so that you can start enjoying life again. Aging. So we talked about lactate, the benefits of moving intensely to build lactate in the muscles to accumulate. It goes to the brain, creates growth factors that help boost memory and ward off dementia. And so older adults who are looking to enhance their brain health, we recommend this interval walking where every now and then they pick up the pace to the point where it's difficult to breathe and or difficult to talk. So when it's this, we call this the talk test. So this when it's difficult to talk, you're likely above your lactate threshold. Lactate's accumulating and it's getting to the brain to produce this growth in the memory centers. I talk about exercise benefits for sleep. And the bottom line is the more you move during the day, the better you sleep at night. And this is because sleep is triggered by the buildup of adenosine. And adenosine is the byproduct of ATP metabolism. So what does that mean? When we exercise, we burn more ATP. It's the cellular energy for the cells. And so we create more adenosine that helps the brain fall asleep faster and sleep more soundly. I talk about exercise for focus. We talked about it with the school kids, but it works for everybody. And your burpees every hour will help keep your staff focused. And another cool thing probably about burpees is that they probably also help with creativity. So moving or cross-training the body, moving it in creative ways, helps the brain to think more creatively. And so even just this simple context shift from sitting in front of the computer screen to going into, the hallway and doing a few burpees is enough to make the brain more mentally flexible and allows you to think more innovatively.
I love it. I mean, just for somebody that's like an exercise, like an athlete like yourself, you're pretty smart.
They go hand in hand.
You're awesome. How do people find out about you?
So you can order the book, Move the Body, Heal the Mind. It's on the internet, on the Amazon and Indigo and Barnes and Noble. They can go to my website, neurofitlab.com. I'm on Twitter at Jennifer Heiss, Instagram at dr.jenniferheiss.
All right, Doc, before we tune out, is there anything else that our audience should know?
Yeah, I think it's important to know that exercise takes a lot of resiliency to do it day in and day out, but it gives you so much more resiliency back. And this is why I do it.
Do you know someone who needs a little help staying motivated, staying informed, getting or staying mentally and physically resilient? We're here 3 days every week with a mix of content to help you stay strong. From mindset to nutrition and everything in between. Listen every Tuesday to hear Joe DeSena, Spartan Race founder and CEO. And the rest of the week, join us for DECA, Endurance, and Classic episodes. See you next time. This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Athletic Brewing Company. Their innovative process allows them to brew great-tasting craft beer without the alcohol. New customers can get 10% off their entire order with the code SPARTAN10. Limit one per customer. Maximize energy, optimize nutrition, and improve performance with Wild Health. Personalized precision healthcare built for Spartans. You'll get a personalized health plan based on your DNA and biometrics and the support of a team of health experts. Sign up at wildhealth.com with the code SPARTAN10 to save 10%.